The assigned reading for this Tuesday is from Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord our God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial, takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. That is God's word. For those of you who have not heard me before, I always begin a sermon with a question, and the question for today is, which one of you, when witnessing to someone about Jesus Christ, would say, the church is a place where we want you to be afraid of God? Would anybody witness that way? Sunday, I just began a new course of adult confirmation at one of the congregations I'm helping out with. And what I found interesting is that in every one of Martin Luther's meanings of each commandment, he begins with, we should fear and love God. There's a lot of controversy over what that word fear means. If you ever want to find what is contrary to Lutheran doctrine, simply look up a word in Wikipedia. And sure enough, what does it say? It says that to fear God refers to a specific sense of respect, awe, and submission. Well, guess what? With that attitude, with that definition, we're still going to fear God in heaven. If it means that we awe and submit to him. Now, it is true that sometimes the word fear can have somewhat of a positive meaning, like when we talk about a God-fearing person, that usually is understood as having an aspect of awe and respect. But that's not the fear of God found many times in the Bible in Luther's Small Catechism. Some theologians try and get around this idea of being afraid of God by connecting verse 12, which I read here, to mean to fear God means to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, I guess none of us fear God, since in Lutheran theology there are three parts of the law. The first part is this is God's will. The second part is nobody can do it perfectly. And the third part, of course, is God takes care of where we don't do it. Other so-called theologians connect fear of God with repentance. And once more, here's Wikipedia, and you can find this throughout the internet. Repentance is the activity of reviewing one's actions, feeling contrition or regret for past wrongs, but accompanied with a commitment to change for the better. And some denominations say you haven't truly repented unless you are changed for the better. It is generally seen as a commitment to personal change and personal resolve that I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be more responsible, more humane. Even worse is this quotation, right from the internet. Repenting is what happens inside of us that leads to the fruits of new behavior. Repentance is the inward change that bears the fruit of new deeds. Jesus is demanding that we experience the inward change. A demand. Law or gospel? It's obviously law, which you can't do. So what's really repentance? That when you are witnessing, repentance is front and center, is clear from the words of Jesus himself. Matthew 4, Jesus began to preach saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Luke 5, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Luke 13, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So it's really important to understand what repentance is and how it connects to the fear of God. If you listen closely to Jesus, notice that the first step in converting someone is not gospel, it's not faith, it's law. Repent. So to understand what that repentance is, we need to look at the Bible. How can you tell if someone is truly repentant? I mean, they may come into my office and say, "You know, I'm really sorry for what I did, and I'll try to change." Is that knowing that they're truly repentant? The following counseling session I actually did have. This is absolutely true what I'm about to say. And it will answer the question of what I came up with an understanding of repentance. A distraught young woman came to my office to tell me that she had been sexually abused by two men who got away with the crime for lack of evidence. She hated them. She would not forgive them. And she said, "I didn't come to you because I know your reputation. You would go talk to them. They would be sorry. They would believe in Jesus and they would go to heaven. And I want them to go to hell." That's what she said. Was she repentant of her attitude towards them? I asked her that. "Are you repentant that you're unable to forgive them?" "No." Real clear. Was she therefore repentant? Not if you make the ridiculous definitions from Wikipedia and the other nonsense found on the internet. So I continued to speak to her, and I was asking her questions. That's my style, questions. And so I finally asked her, "What made you come to see me? You know, you say you're not repentant or anything." Her answer was surprising to me. She was worried about a passage in the Bible, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And when we looked at that passage, it suddenly dawned on me that this woman was not repentant in the superficial understanding of being sorry that she could not forgive what had been done to her. You know how I could tell she was repentant? She was totally afraid of God. She feared God. Which reminds us of Psalm 111. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." Every sermon we preach should be law and gospel. The first point is to take the law of the text and apply it to everybody, saying, "You all failed, every one of you." To get to the point where they are afraid of God. Then comes the gospel. That's why law always precedes gospel. That's why Jesus has the law. Repent and believe. You see, a truly unrepentant person would not care less about God's attitude toward them. You know, I drive part-time for Uber and Lyft, and I'll have passengers occasionally in the back seat, and some of them have been swearing while they're talking to each other, and they find out I'm a pastor, and I say, you know, God doesn't appreciate, you know, some of the words you were saying. And almost invariably is, I don't care. I don't believe in God. Lack of fear is a lack of repentance. That she feared God meant to me that she was not only a believer, but that she still had that wisdom given to her at her baptism. And so the conversation continued for some time after that, where I thanked the Lord after she had left for helping me to see that proper fear of the true God is actually an act of repentance from the Holy Trinity. Repentance isn't something you do. Luke 15, there's a lost sheep. Remember how it got found? It went looking for the Savior, found him, jumped on his shoulders. No, wait a minute. No, that's not right. It knew it was lost. It feared being lost. The Savior went and found the sheep, put him on his shoulders, carried him home with joy. That word joy is the same one found in Hebrews. For the joy that was set before him, he despised the cross. Went the way of the cross, despised the shame. Repentance is an act of God. When you get to heaven, you'll be asked, perhaps, who do you give all the credit to? Every Christian will say, Jesus Christ. There is nothing you did, there's nothing you contributed to your salvation or cooperated, because you were adopted. As an infant does nothing to be adopted, so also were we. In order to show that law precedes gospel, there was a man, you may have heard of him, John the Baptizer, who came to prepare the way of the Lord. Luke 3. And he went into all the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And if you read those sections, you will see that John, boy, he really blames the Pharisees for not being afraid of God. Because they're not like tax collectors. Do you ever remember or notice that every time we have the Lord's Supper in a worship service, and sometimes I would have matins and have the Lord's Supper, I would never have the Lord's Supper without preceding it with the confession of faith and the confession of sins. Repenting that the only thing we're worthy to do is receive temporal and eternal punishment. And then you hear the promise from God of the gospel through the pastor. Your sins are forgiven, and you are declared worthy to receive the body and blood in your mouth. Witnessing. Start with creating fear in the hearts of people so that then they are prepared to hear that which eliminates that fear and promises heaven as their home. Amen.